Welcome to episode 74 of the Working Girls Podcast. It's episode 74.
74.
74. I have a request. Could gaming news just like take a day off or something? Like,
that's so much of it.
And you, the craziest
thing.
It's
not over.
Yeah, it's not over either. But the craziest thing is a bunch of the stuff we're going to talk about today happened during my stream yesterday.
Yep.
And some of the other stuff we're going to talk about today happened during the recording of last week's podcast. What the heck, man?
Ah!
It's like video games. Video games are everywhere.
Video games.
But it's great stuff. There's some cool stuff going on, yo. And it's going to be fun. We do not have our next guest this week. However, I can assure you that conversations are happening. It's not a situation where I'm not getting a response or anything like that. We are discussing it. We're trying to schedule it. So it's difficult given who the guest is. So,
yep.
You know, we'll work it out, though. We'll work it out. Alrighty. So, it's going to be a pretty typical show with a lot to talk about. So, let's get right into it with some
games.
Welcome to
Gaming Bees.
I like that thing at the end. It's like we're actually just welcoming you to it as we're slowly sinking underwater. We're just moving beneath the surface.
Yep.
So welcome to Gaming News.
Drowning in a sea of gaming news.
Sherlock, there's a lot to talk about.
There is a lot to talk about.
For instance, the big Nintendo Direct.
Direct was so good.
But so many people hated it.
Which I don't get. It was so good.
Yeah, it's getting so panned, but it really was good. It really was. I liked a lot of what I was witnessing there. For instance, can we talk about Mithra and Pyra, is that right? Smash now?
Yep. So that confused me at first because I legit thought that this wasn't a Smash announcement until
Seem like one, though.
Huh?
It didn't seem like one. I get it.
No. Yeah, no. It looked like, oh, they're doing another like Xenoblade Chronicles like DLC. Cool.
Yeah.
That's what I thought that was for a while. And then, like, oh, okay, it's Smash. Okay. But.
Yeah, come to think of it, I think that might have been the most, like, production value-y Smash trailer.
Yeah. That we've seen. Really. That was, like, 5-minute long thing.
Yeah. It felt like a game trailer. Not a trailer for new characters in Smash. It felt like a game trailer.
I thought, like, the way they framed it at the beginning, I was like, oh, DLC for. Yeah, but, like,
the hype was real.
I can't play that game, but I have a lot of appreciation for it. It's cool.
Yeah.
Xenoblade's awesome.
But but the cool thing is, one of the reasons Sherlock thought that, so I have no exposure to it, so I didn't know what to think. But one of the reasons Sherlock thought that is because, yes, indeed, they used the appropriate voice actors.
They did. Yes, they did.
It's awesome. So Pyra and Mithra, again, I don't know much about them because I have no exposure to Xenoblade Chronicles. But I understand that they're it's one character. The Smash character being released is Pyra and Mithra.
Yeah.
So it's like it's one character, but they're two characters.
Yep.
Okay. So that there you go. but that was just one thing.
That was the first thing they showed too. I was like, well,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that's how you start the show.
Yeah.
But the other highlights I have written down are kind of out of order. They're just things that I thought of. How about that Zelda Skyward Sword?
A lot of people pan Skyward Sword.
Mostly because of the controls, though.
It's my favorite Zelda game.
Like, is it legit, really?
Legit is my favorite Zelda
game. Whoa.
I love Skyward Sword
so
much.
Are we talking like over Breath of the Wild?
Yeah.
Whoa.
The Breath of the Wild's awesome. I love Breath of the Wild. I still need to watch a complete playthrough, but I love Skyward Sword. I like the story.
Interesting.
The music is so good. Like, I don't know. It just kind of resonated with me.
Yeah, okay, cool.
And speaking of the controls, I like that they pointed out that, like, yep, you can absolutely use motion controls if you still want to do that.
Yep.
You can use button controls now, thank
you. Yeah, God. Yeah, they actually mapped button controls onto it.
And actually, they did it in a clever way. I like how, like, they mapped the sword movements to the right thumbstick, which I thought was kind of clever.
Yeah, and I don't think the video says this, but I saw something later that said they incorporated all 8 directions.
Yeah, they did.
So you can go diagonal too if you need to. So
yep,
that's cool.
I think that's cool. Really clever. Because yeah, I think that's what a lot of people had problems with Skyward Sword is like, oh, motion controls. Ugh.
Yeah, the problem with the Wii in general was that sometimes the controls worked very well, and sometimes they didn't.
Yep.
And when they didn't, you had problems.
Yep. So. Like that one E3, I think it actually was a Skyward Sword E3 presentation where I don't remember if it was E3, but it was some present like thing. It was some presentation where they were having motion control issues, and they like asked people to like turn off. Something, I don't know, but yeah, like it was, they were getting interference basically. It's like,
yeah, I remember that.
That's why buttons are always good.
Yep, buttons are good. And if you're gonna do motion controls, do it in a different way, you know, like,
yeah.
One thing, you know, the Kinect was a bad idea because it was too much too soon.
Yeah,
but one thing that was good about the Kinect was that it did motion controls with a camera, which makes more sense. Less interference from just signal-based motion controls.
Yep.
Skyward Sword, remastered, upgraded graphics, fun stuff, plus controls mapped onto the thing.
Map button controls.
Yes, that's a big win. Big win.
It's good for accessibility as well. Not even just, not necessarily blind accessibility. It's not at all blind, really blind playable.
Right, but it's very good.
It's good for people that have mobility issues, which is, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. If you can't, like Skyward Sword, for instance, just as one example, to charge your sword, you have to raise it to the sky.
Yep.
And there are people who literally can't do that with their arm.
Yeah.
So now maybe these people can play Skyward Sword and enjoy it.
Yep.
That is the hope. That is the hope. I hope some new people do enjoy it because of that.
It's a good game. Like, I love Skyward Sword.
Yeah, yeah. So next up, my next highlight was the Mario items are finally coming to Animal Crossing.
Yay.
Yes. We heard about this during the big Mario 35 presentation, but now we've seen them. And yes, indeed, they are on their way. As of the 1st of March, they are happening.
Yep.
And The cool thing is, well, I don't know. I'm weird about like nostalgic audio, and so the fact that the items make their appropriate sound effects is important to me.
Yeah, I like that.
but one of the coolest things, though, and something that is yes actually valuable yes to blind players, is warp pipes.
Ooh.
You can have, on your Animal Crossing Island as of March 1st, you can have up to 2 warp pipes, and they're functional.
Ooh.
Meaning, if there's a place that you find difficult to reach, even if you try to set it up, you know, to be easy, if you still find it difficult, put a warp pipe that takes you there, like, put it right by your house. That's actually what I'm going to do.
Dude. Because
even though I tried to place my campsite in a place where I could find it, I still have trouble finding it. Mm-hmm. So fixed it. Fixed that problem. Warp pipe from my house to the campsite.
Yeah. Oh, that's
They're
cool.
They're functional.
Oh, that's
it's
cool.
It's so cool. It's so cool.
I missed that in the presentation. That's cool.
You can have 2 of them on your island and they work.
Very cool.
They essentially teleport, but you know, it's fine. It's that's what warp pipes really did in the video game too anyway. So
yeah.
It's fine.
Yep.
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm looking forward to that. I imagine I'll probably need help placing them.
Yeah, probably.
Because hey. I would think something like warp pipes might be done in. I could be wrong, but I'm thinking maybe it would be to attach them and be like the design editor thing they have to go into.
Oh yeah, that could be.
If I'm wrong, then I'll let you know. But yeah, I imagine I might need some help with that. But once that's placed, it's going to be awesome. I'm going to love it.
Yep.
I'm going to keep those things forever.
Forever.
Forever. Ever.
Forever.
Okay. Now I want to give a shout out, and this is one of the things I really liked about the Nintendo Direct that you know that I guess other people didn't like the JRPG like on displayness of that whole Nintendo Direct.
So much JRPG.
Yeah, like Bravely Default 2 was featured there. I didn't write that down, but I
we knew. Yeah, I mean we knew Bravely Default 2 was a thing and it was happening pretty soon.
Yeah, but.
Actually, I think it's happening. I think it comes out on your birthday, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think you know what I think it does. I think that's actually, funny. I think there are multiple games that come out on my birthday. Man, everyone loves my birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, JRPGs were everywhere in the Nintendo Direct, and not even just JRPGs, visual novels.
Oh yeah, what was it? Famicom Detective.
Famicom. Yeah, that's right. Famicom Detective. Yeah,
I am actually really super interested in that.
They featured visual novels in Nintendo Direct. Super
interested in those because those are actually like old school. They're basically remasters. Old like SNES, like Super Famicom.
Yeah,
exclusive Japanese visual novels from the 90s are getting.
Switch remasters
are getting Switch remasters and localizations. Like what?
Yeah.
Holy crap. Like,
yeah. And I'm here's the
super
thing.
Interested in this.
Here's the thing that gets me because as you know, having been with her for many years, I trust Misty's viewpoints. Misty took one look at Famicom Detective and said, Hey, Brandon, I think you can play this.
I think I could play that too. Actually, yeah. I think we could. It looked like hopefully OCR as well. Actually, I don't think it's going to, but hey, I mean, if it has English dub, that'd be even more of a plus.
I don't know. The trailer didn't.
The trailer was voices in the. But that doesn't always mean.
No, I mean, like there was some game audio in it, and I didn't hear any voices attached to that, so I don't know.
There was
a little bit. Definitely. Yeah, not much, but there. I heard some like you know like text scroll sound. Yeah. So I don't think so. Looked,
like the audio design seemed very charming and
oh cool, yeah and oh I'm yeah it's super
really
old school
excited
and I love it. Yeah
I'm really excited for this
but I it's awesome though like you don't expect to see that in a big like presentation of games because visual novels as fun as I think they are and as fun as a lot of us think they are often kind of relegated to the side.
Yeah, they're starting to get more and more popular though.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, I'll take your word for it, but I'm not really seeing it like in the mainstream, except for this until now.
Well, you know what? I think you know what really kind of helped start the whole movement was
Phoenix Wright. Yeah,
I think it started the slow upward. You know, like people are a lot more receptive these days.
People said, "Oh, this reading stuff isn't so bad after all."
Yep. Exactly.
But yeah. Even Anna is like visual novels, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the reason the actual what started this conversation, because I didn't actually write down the visual novel thing because I knew I'd remember it. But what started this is one thing I did write down, which is Project Triangle Strategy.
This looks so good.
It really does. It really does. I really doubt it'll be playable by blind people, but it looks really good.
I don't think so either, but there's actually a guy that I follow on YouTube who specializes in JRPGs, and he's outright just calling this a Final Fantasy Tactics spiritual successor.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
like
it sounds like one.
It looks that good. Like, oh, this. Mm.
Yep, so, it is a tactical RPG, which does not have a formal name currently. That's what it's literally currently called, Project Triangle Strategy, because they don't know what to call it yet.
They could still call it Triangle Strategy.
They could.
Octopath Traveler really actually did start out as Project Octopath Traveler.
Ah, okay. Well,
kind of the same thing where like they're like, well, maybe this will be our name, but we'll change it. That's why they had Project on it. It still could be called Triangle Strategy, but
it could. It seems like a strange name though. Because it seems like that's something you assign to a game that you know is a tactical RPG, but then you don't, like...
I mean, Octopath was a weird name, and they still went with
fair,
it.
Fair enough. That's fair. That's a fair point.
That is a great game, by the way, Octopath.
We have it. We just haven't played it. We haven't dabbled yet. But yeah, Project Triangle Strategy, tactical RPG, very Japanese, but that's awesome. Like, seems to have full voice acting, too.
Oh, the voice acting was so good.
Yeah, it's quality stuff.
I actually thought for a couple minutes that just because the way they spoke and stuff too, I actually thought they were showing Bravely Default 2.
Yeah, actually Misty thought that too. Even visually she thought that. But so. Then they weren't.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Yeah, and it is being made by Square Enix, you know, the RPG masters of the world or something.
Yep.
And so that's it's their latest project, and that's
I thing. Like too. What I really really like about that game is all the neat stuff you can do with terrain.
Yeah, that's the it cool thing about tactical cool. RPGs, you know.
Yeah.
Like that's. I don't know if terrain is a common thing for tactical RPGs, but a lot of them will utilize some things like the environment in some situations and stuff.
Yeah.
Will be useful.
But like doing stuff with magic to affect the terrain.
Oh yeah. Oh,
to
yeah.
do different things like, you know, ice and fire to create water and,
yep.
and apparently you actually see the magic like actually destroying buildings and stuff in the background too as it's going. Like,
don't mind the collateral damage, folks.
Yeah.
We just have to have this major battle, you know.
Yep. So
it's just like what is that? I want to say it's a fighting game. Yeah, is it one of the Dragon Ball games like that?
Oh, there's quite a few Dragon Ball games that you can do that.
Yeah, that's what I thought. You're
destroying mountains and
right.
Like that.
Yeah. You know, we're saving the earth, but we're also destroying it. You know, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's all right. Don't worry about it.
Mr. Mountain.
You know, Mr. Giant, you know, important landmass.
Is the monkey meet General Mountain? Good Lord. I love Dragon Ball Z Abridged.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. So next up, and this is my last highlight that I wrote down for the Nintendo Direct, Miitopia.
I am so excited for this.
Miitopia. It is an RPG that is entirely composed of your Mii characters.
Yep.
And if you have a lot of friends who have their Miis, you know, set up and everything, you can set the NPCs in this RPG to just be your friends. Like, If maybe one of your
not
friends...
only that, but not only that, you can set the NPCs. You can also set like your party members too.
Yeah,
to be your friends.
Yeah,
you know?
So yeah.
I want to have Cello be a mage or something. Like,
yeah, and I could be the local blacksmith because that I don't know why I would do that, but I could.
But there's a reason I'm excited for this game.
Yes, do tell, Sterlock.
I
guess we could bring. Well, now let's go ahead and talk about it now. What the heck? Why not? Go for it.
So this is a remaster basically of an old 3DS game.
Wait, it is?
Yep.
Oh. Okay.
Miitopia was a 3DS game.
Oh.
This is why I know what I know about it.
Right.
And the game is basically entirely menu based. And you're like dungeon-y, you know, places where you're, you know, like your stage progression is pretty much entirely on rails. It's all done for you, basically.
You'll have like forks in the road and stuff that like you make a choice and stuff. But
there's no getting stuck or anything.
Nope. Because everything is just, you're just moving automatically along a path and then you fight predetermined battles. So this game, especially on the Switch, because they have to account, you're not always going to have access to a touchscreen.
Yep, that's true.
That's the problem with the 3DS game, is there are some things that you have to use the touchscreen for. Not necessarily a problem if you're playing on real hardware, but if you're emulating it and you have to use the mouse,
right,
it's kind
right.
of an issue.
Yeah, that's a huge problem.
I've been trying to emulate this game for like a week, and I'm not really having much success because I'm stuck at the... I'm stuck at creating some Miis.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have full confidence that... And it OCRs like perfectly.
Oh, that's good to hear. That's good to hear.
So I have full confidence that this game is going to be 100% playable.
Wow.
On the Switch.
To the point
where this is going to be a day one purchase.
They have to consider pro controllers. They have to.
Yep. Yep. So everything there. I have.
That's
basically
really
zero doubt.
That could be really fun.
I seriously think this would be like the perfect stream game.
Oh, really? Well, yeah, I suppose it would. Yeah. And it would definitely help to fill out the old Switch friends list, because then people want to be part of it and be like, hey, here's my friend code. Oh, I want to be.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
So, yeah, that could be awesome.
Yeah, that's.
I'll have to look into that, too. That's coming out...
May something.
Oh, I think it's May 14th. A lot of these... That's another very popular date. May 14th.
Yeah.
Which, Misty loves that, because that's 2 days before her birthday. So.
Yep.
Man, what is up with our birthdays?
I know, right?
Games, man. All right. So that's my Nintendo Direct highlights.
Yep.
But overall, a good show. I don't
very
get the complaints.
Show.
I just don't.
I loved it.
I loved it. I loved the
Direct
whole thing.
Direct was... Oh, and Splatoon 3.
But, oh, yeah, I mean, Splatoon 3. I mean, yeah.
That was kind of a given. Like,
that's true.
It's like, yeah, okay. Not really surprised. They like
Splatoon.
Tried to frame it as like, oh, we have one more thing. And I'm like, yeah, it's going to be Splatoon 3.
And it's going to be Cyberpunk 2077 on Switch. Just kidding.
Oh, God. Well, given the state of that game, it's probably a good thing that...
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen. At least not soon. If ever.
You know what is coming to Switch, though?
A lot.
Which I thought was interesting is, well, no, a thing that wasn't shown at the Direct, I don't think. Tony Hawk's
That is good. That is good. That's a good Switch game, too, because it's not actually...
That's a real good Switch game.
Yeah, because it's not a good... It's not a multiplayer game. Like, it's not an online game at all.
Yeah.
It's something that you can easily enjoy on the go. No internet connection
it'd
required.
It'd be a fun car trip game, I think.
Yeah, like. I agree. That said, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 is also getting its PS5 upgrade in March.
Oh, cool.
Not that, you know, I'm probably not going to mess with it, but,
nah.
You know, it's happening. And it's going to have 3D audio. It's going to have DualSense support, as you would expect.
Yep.
And better graphics.
Yep. So.
All right. Anna says,
oh, hi, Anna.
Man, I want to play Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2. All right.
Yeah, and a little tiny kitty skateboard.
Right.
Aww.
There you go. I mean, she zooms around enough. She might as well have a tiny kitty skateboard.
Yep.
All right. So, next up in gaming news is BlizzCon, which was happening, and I plumb forgot this. BlizzCon was happening while we were recording the podcast last week. That's what I was talking about. The presentation was happening while we were recording the show.
Wow.
So BlizzCon happened.
So much that happened.
Yeah. Basically, what it comes down to is there's really two big things. Well, I mean, there's it depends on your perspective. There's multiple big things on the horizon for Blizzard. But the big things that I want to talk about, Diablo 4, Diablo Immortal, and Overwatch 2 are on the horizon. Things are happening with them. Diablo Immortal apparently is finally going to come out soonish.
It's still not an April Fool's joke.
It's still not. It's still real. It's still real, guys. Diablo Immortal is happening. I've actually heard that it's from the people that have gotten a little bit of like the press that have played like 15 minutes of it have said it's, guess what, not terrible.
Okay.
Like, people want it to be terrible because they assume it's going to be, but apparently it's not terrible.
Okay.
It might not be, you know, the full Diablo experience.
But that's what Diablo 4 and
right.
This other thing is.
Yes, indeed. So those are the On the Horizon announcements. And then they're like, hey, BT dubs, there's another thing. And that other thing is Diablo 2 Resurrected. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't understand it, but I love it. Here's why I don't understand it. Because if you recall, there was also a time not too long ago where Blizzard came to the fans and said, fans, we know that you were excited for a remake of Diablo 2, but we can't do it because, quote-unquote, the source code was lost. So, huh? Apparently they can, in fact, do it. Because they are doing it.
I mean, they said for years, Square said for years that the Final Fantasy VIII source code was lost. And
that's
they
true.
Somehow brought that to, I don't know how they worked that magic. But
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, we're talking everything. We're talking fully remastered cutscenes. They remastered all the audio for 7.1 surround. Which is I was hoping I would see that too. Because that gives it.
And those cutscenes are already amazing.
They are. They hold up today.
They're so good.
The Diablo 2 cutscenes hold up today. I really. Oh my god, they're so good.
The Warcraft 3 ones, and the Diablo, Diablo 2 ones.
Yeah.
Like, those are still some of the best.
Yeah, Blizzard has always been.
Especially Diablo 2, like some of the freaking best cutscenes. Oh my god.
Blizzard's always been kind of amazing at cutscenes. Like. Yeah. Their cinematics department is ridiculous. I don't know. So I was hoping to hear a full remaster in 7.1 for the audio. Not just the cutscene audio, all the audio remastered in 7.1. I was hoping to hear that because that gives a Diablo 3 playability potential right there.
Yep.
Let's see. They are adding controller support to PC on Diablo 2.
And do that for Diablo 3, please.
And of course, it is not just on PC. It's going to be a console port as well, so you can get it for your PS5,
yeah,
or your PC if you want. Either one is fine. We will be talking more about this later.
Yes,
but for now, we'll leave it at that. It was announced. Everyone is hyped. Everyone is excited. I'm right there with them because if it's even half as playable as Diablo 3, I'll be happy with it. Like. I'll still be super happy with it. I'll just mess around. I'll have all the fun with that. But yeah, we'll talk about that later. Because trust me, there's a reason. Speaking of Diablo, though, I want to bring up something real quick that is just crazy but awesome. I actually found this out last night. I didn't write this down in the outline, but I wanted to bring it up because I just thought of it, and we're talking about Diablo, and I want it, yeah. So, patch is coming to Diablo 3. To bring in the latest season, I think it's like season 28 now or something like that. Some really high number. Like so patch is coming, but it is the most significant patch to Diablo 3 in literal years. This is why I'm bringing it up in gaming news, because this is significant, at least in my opinion. If you're a fan of Diablo at all, and if you've ever been a Diablo 3 fan, even if you've kind of fallen out with it, this might bring you back.
Ooh, really?
Yeah. Guess what they're doing, Sturlock? I will tell you. They are completely remapping, reworking, rebuilding the follower system.
Ooh. Ooh.
Solo Ooh. Play is about to become a bunch more viable. Because.
Oh, good.
Because this is about to make your brain explode. So. Before, you could equip followers with a few things. You could equip them with a main hand weapon, an offhand shield, or in some cases, weapon, and a ring. I think two rings? I think two rings and a follower token. Now, you can equip them with any piece of gear.
Ooh.
They have access to all 13 gear slots, plus they keep the follower token slots. They actually have 14 slots, meaning they have more slots than the player does, which is hilarious. But so you can equip them with any piece of gear. But that is not all. Oh, no. Now, followers have something called Emanate, where certain legendary powers will emanate from the follower to you. Not every legendary power. They wanted to be very clear on this. They gave a list of the specific legendary powers that will do this with. But the list is so comprehensive that it, like, the usefulness is off the charts. So, for example, this I think you'll recognize this one, Sterlock. Nemesis Bracers. Remember those?
Yep.
You know, they are useful in a lot of builds because you get free elites from, you know, from them, and you need elites to, you know, for rifts. So it's good for, you know, speed running rift builds, right?
Yeah.
Now, you take your Nemesis Bracers, you put them on your follower. Not
that
you.
Frees up another slot for
yes.
you.
You
oh
can equip
God.
Whatever the heck you want in the bracer slot
huge.
For yourself. Your follower emanates the Nemesis power, and you have it.
Oh my God, that's huge.
That's not even that's just one example. They also did it. One of the other emanate legendary powers is the Flavor of Time. I don't know if you remember that one because we never use it in any of our builds, but Flavor of Time is an amulet that extends the effect of pylons by 100%. It makes them double.
Nice.
So double length of pylon effects, you know, the lightning effects, the invincibility effects.
Yeah.
Double.
Cool.
Wow. So there's a bunch of those. I'm not going to list all of them because I don't have them all in front of me, but there's a bunch of those that do it. A bunch of really, really good powers that do it. Some more that are just going to be used for like gold finding builds, like gold skin will also emanate too. So you don't have to wear gold skin to get to make your gold
find
go up.
Good.
All
important gold find that, man.
Yeah.
But most important.
But not only that, I'm still not done. Not only that, they also gave them new skills. Every follower has new skills now. And they made the follower stats matter by having the skills be affected by the stats. So basically, the scoundrel, for instance, one of his skills is a stun. The stun will last shorter or longer depending on how much dex the scoundrel has based on the gear you've equipped on them. So now you have a reason once again to have your followers wearing high stat gear. Cause all their skills will be more powerful if they are.
Yeah.
But some of the skills they added are insane. And again, this is why Riker, I watched Riker's video on this last night. This is why I'm finding out how I found out about this. Riker is calling this the season of solo play. Although it's not just a season of solo play, these changes, according to the Diablo devs on their blog, are permanent to Diablo 3.
Good.
So,
good.
They actually didn't. This season doesn't have a seasonal theme because they were so busy working on this.
Yeah.
So,
that's huge.
But the skills they've added are ridiculous. For instance, one of the things the Enchantress can do now, one of her skills, she can give you. Depending on her intelligence stat, she can give you between 5% and 10% cooldown reduction on all your skills.
Ooh.
Now consider this. Cooldown reduction is often a skill you have to factor into builds. Like a lot of builds require, say, you know, in order to work at 100% uptime on all the skills you need, sometimes it's like 17% cooldown reduction you have to have on the build.
Yeah.
If you have your follower, your Enchantress follower with high stats, that's 10% cooldown reduction you don't need to put on your build.
Yeah.
You can roll another stat that makes your build powerful in a different way. You only have to have, 7% cooldown reduction?
Yeah.
The Scoundrel has a skill that makes him create this cloud now, and every time an enemy takes damage while standing in that cloud, it's always, always a critical hit. So think about this.
Oh.
Riker is like, holy crap, imagine this, a build where you have to put zero crit chance on your any of your gear, any of it, because you're just rely on the scoundrel to do this thing.
Wow.
You lower his cooldown reduction, and he does it all the time, and you're always hitting critical hits.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Wow.
The power this is awesome.
Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. Followers just got like 1,000 times more viable. Yeah. It's ridiculous. The funny thing is, at least right now, the Templar got the least of it. He can still do some stuff. Like he can still, increase your resources, which is one of the things he already does pretty well. Mm-hmm. He can still do that stuff, but he actually is the least viable. He doesn't have any of these. He doesn't seem to have any, unless they didn't mention them, any of these really, really cool, effective, powerful skills, which is interesting because the Templar has been kind of the primary choice for a lot of builds, a lot of solo builds, but now he's not going to be with all these other skills and all these other powers. Also every single one of the followers now has their own extra life skill. You know what I mean? Like, where you take fatal damage, but you don't die. Instead of you're invincible for like a few seconds.
Oh, yeah.
And then every follower now has a skill of their own that does this, which means again, during solo play, you can either have two extra lives or you can replace your extra life passive, which is recommended for a lot of solo builds. You can just replace it with another passive and do more damage or whatever. Dude,
that's crazy.
It's insane. Biggest patch in years. I totally agree with it.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I'm done talking about that. That's huge.
Yeah, it's monstrous. It's monstrous. I'm done talking about that for now. But I just that's something that if you're a Diablo 3 fan, good lord, it's worth bringing that up. Expect to have to retool all your follower stuff when this patch comes out, though. Because it's all going to be different. So, all right. Next up in gaming news, PlayStation explodes.
Yeah. Does it ever?
I saw none of this coming. None of it.
Nope.
And this happened. This happened during my stream yesterday. During my birthday bash, this was going on. So, PlayStation made a bunch of announcements yesterday. First of all, the Play at Home initiative is coming back. You may recall back in April of 2020, they did this Play at Home thing because of the coronavirus, where they basically just for the month of April, you had the choice of going to pick up and download the Uncharted Nathan Drake Collection and Journey for free.
Yep.
It was not attached to PlayStation Plus. It was not attached to anything. If you signed into a PlayStation, you can just go get it for free, and it'd just be yours to keep. It's just they literally made the price $0. No attachments required, you know?
Yeah, very cool.
So they did that back in April. They're doing that again. So in the month of March, if you choose to, Ratchet & Clank 2016, the PS4 reboot of Ratchet & Clank, will be $0.
Hey, cool.
Absolutely free. How perfect is
that? That's awesome.
Like, and not only is it cool that they're bringing back Play at Home, because, you know, this, you know, coronavirus is still happening, and it's really nice of PlayStation to just give people a free game. Yeah. Everyone, even people that don't have PlayStation Plus get a free game.
That's cool.
Everyone. So that's just generally nice. But on top of that, could the timing be any better? Like, we're about to get Rift Apart, the PS5 Ratchet & Clank
when
game.
Do we know when that's coming out yet?
June.
June. Okay.
It's coming out in June.
That looks really good still. Oh my God.
I want to know what accessibility features
has.
Oh,
no. I'm hoping.
So Rift Apart is going to happen in a few months, and everyone gets the prequel to that, basically.
Yeah.
The one that comes before. The genesis of Rift Apart. you get to play the first game for nothing.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
That's going to sell some copies. Now, I will actually, I guess the argument here to make is it may not actually sell more copies because what it may do is sell PS5s. The reason I say that, though, is because, and I forgot this initially, and I almost forgot it just now, but I remembered it again. So that's good. Ratchet and Clank is actually already in the PlayStation Plus collection for PS5 owners.
Yeah.
So if you're already a PS5 owner, you can already get it for free. But if you're not, if you're a PS4 owner and you don't have PlayStation Plus, you can get Ratchet and Clank. Even if you do have PlayStation Plus, you can get Ratchet and Clank in March for free. And you play it. Maybe you want to play the next one. Well, then you want a PS5.
Yep.
You know, that it might work in, you know, to do that as well. But I just think it's a really cool thing. Play at Home is a nice initiative. So thank you, Sony, for that. It's awesome. Next up in PlayStation Exploding, it's been officially announced that Days Gone, along with other PlayStation exclusives, as yet unannounced, are coming to PC.
Hmm.
This is something that they've done before. I mean, Horizon Zero Dawn came to PC. And that did well on PC.
Yeah.
And apparently it was the fact that did well on PC that made Sony realize that this was a decent idea, that this could work.
Yeah.
According to Jim Ryan in a blog post, it was the success of Horizon Zero Dawn that made them try again. So Days Gone is coming. We don't know what else is coming to PC, but I guess it's something they're going to do now. I don't know. So I don't know. I'm mostly cool with this idea. I'm mostly cool with it. But I still don't personally want them to do things the way Xbox does them.
I don't see them doing it with like every exclusive or by any means, but
you think they'll pick and choose?
I think they'll probably pick and choose, yeah.
I hope they do, because I don't want them to do what Xbox does. Like I don't mind Xbox doing what Xbox does. Like that's their choice and they've gone with it and they're sticking to it and okay, whatever.
Yeah.
I'll take advantage of it, sure. But I don't feel like that's the PlayStation way. Like, and maybe that's a little bit of like biasness, but I don't know. I don't want to see a game that's meant to be a PS5 exclusive, big budget thing. Just day one, it's on PC. I don't know.
Yeah.
The idea of like, I mean, again, this has not been announced. No other game besides Days Gone has been officially announced. But just the idea of like God of War Ragnarok being on PC on day one.
Yeah. Nah.
No. That's a PlayStation game. Like, I don't know. It just is.
It is.
So, so we'll see what happens with that, but it's not a bad thing. I just hope they do pick and choose. Yeah. I don't want everything to be on PC. But that said, Horizon Zero Dawn did well. So as long as games being on PC don't affect like PS5 sales, I think they'll keep doing it.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see what happens. But Last of Us 2 coming to PC would be a something, wouldn't it?
Like, would.
I mean, I'd pick it up again. I would.
I would too.
I absolutely would. Yeah. You know, because I bring my laptop to hotels and stuff when we travel.
Yeah.
And just being able to have The Last of Us 2 as a game I can just play on the go instead of having to log into remote play to do it would be a boon to me. I would love that.
Yeah.
Although, 3D audio though, bro.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
I do have a virtual surround sound plugin, but it's not the same. You know, but I don't know. I'd still get it. I'd still get it. I wouldn't be able to resist my. I wouldn't be able to help myself. Too much love for that game.
Yep. All
right, so that's the thing. Next thing, PlayStation VR 2 has been announced.
Yay!
This is kind of something that, I don't know about you, Sterlock, but I've just kind of been waiting to happen. Like, I've absolutely expected this to happen.
Yeah.
Not necessarily right now, but I absolutely expected. I knew there was going to be another VR headset.
Yeah. This one did really, really well.
Yeah, it did better than the VR haters think that it did.
Yeah.
But it, you know, it's VR is not, VR is far from dead. VR is fine.
Yeah.
And they have they're going to make another one. It's actually not called the PSVR 2, just everyone else is calling that you're calling it that because why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And I feel like that is marketing that kind of creates itself. I think that when they decide on a title, they're just going to call it PSVR 2 because everyone's already doing it.
Probably, yeah. It's like, yeah. Lamb was already there.
Yeah. We don't know much about it yet. We know that it's, you know, they're of course they're saying it's going to have you know, better field of view, better resolution on the VR, you know, stuff. The biggest thing though, and this is something that even I like, because I've tried PSVR and I had, you know, pretty good experiences with it, but even I can respect this decision. It's only going to be one cord.
Oh,
not four cords in a box.
Oh my God.
That's what the VR is right now. The PSVR right now,
ew.
you hook a USB cable up to your PS4 or, well, PS5 now too, because they have the camera thing. Yeah, you then have to hook your camera up via the camera adapter. Then that PS4 cable doesn't feed to your TV. No, that feeds into a box that is both an HDMI pass-through and a VR processing unit. That box is what processes your 3D audio and whatnot. And then you plug the headset into that and your TV into that. And then your earphones go into a little headphone port on the VR headset. And then finally you're done.
Oh my God.
Jeez. So yeah, that's a lot of work. But PSVR 2, one cord.
Good.
I like it.
Good.
I like it a lot better. And you know, we know that Sony knows what they're doing with 3D audio, so
yep.
You know, I think this will get VR into the hands of a lot more people and show the you know, gamers that it's a lot more viable now. When they don't I think gamers will react positively to the easy setup of it. The fact that it is only one cord, I think will probably sell more units.
Mm-hmm. They probably will.
People were probably turned off. I mean, you know, certainly PSVR did fine, but I imagine some people were probably turned off just by seeing the amount of wires and stuff.
And not everybody has the room and the setup to really accommodate that many cords going.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, and there are long cords. They give you some long ones.
It can create,
but it can still create problems.
Yeah.
So.
That's good.
So yeah, PSVR 2, man.
Yay.
It's happening. It is happening. Next up is a thing that we often joke about.
Yeah.
But yeah. It is worthy of every single one of those jokes.
Oh my God. Why? Why do you always... And it always happens.
It always happens. To Locke.
Because it does it too. Nintendo's done it once or twice, I think. But it's usually Sony.
Yeah. It's usually Sony that does it, but it always happens. Ladies and gentlemen, guess what? There's going to be a new State of Play this week. Guess what day it's on? It's on Thursday.
Aye.
Of course it is. It's on Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern. But jokes aside, I am super hyped for this.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why. Because the little bit that they've said about it in advance is this. 10 trailers and deep dives for new games.
Ooh.
On PS4 and PS5.
Hmm.
So we're about to learn about 10 more games.
New game.
We didn't even know about.
Okay. Yes, please.
I am ready for this. Hopefully it's one of their longer ones. I assume that if they're going to do deep dive, it's going to be one of the hour long ones.
Yeah, I would. I mean, if you're doing 10 of them.
Yeah, I would hope so. Don't call it a deep dive and give me a 20-minute state of play with 10 games in it. It's not going to work. That's two minutes for a game. No, that is not a deep dive.
Going back to the Nintendo Direct for just a quick half a second.
Yeah.
I was so glad that it was like an hour. That was so satisfying. Just like, thank you for like... Because these mini Directs were just like... It always gave me the feeling of like, oh, that's it? Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You felt like it was over too soon.
More. But like this was like, I felt satisfied watching. Like, it was such a good amount of information and like a good amount of time. It legit felt like an E3, you know, presentation almost.
Yeah, it was very direct. Good.
It was good.
very solid, good amount of time. I totally agree.
So hopefully,
and hopefully this is going to be exactly like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to
exactly
it.
Like that. 5 p.m. Eastern on Thursday.
It's always Thursday. So it's Thursday, you know what, or it's Wednesday after we record the podcast, like the direct was.
Right. We did. That's right. We did wait once. I remember we did wait for a presentation once.
Yeah.
I don't remember which one it was, but we did wait once so we could cover it afterward. But yeah, we'll cover that, of course, next week, because of course we will. And there'll probably be a lot to talk about after that. So good times, good times. Yeah. Obviously, there are rumors of flying and hopes abound. There's a lot of things people want to see. Some people want to see, even though it's technically not a new game, it could come with the announcement of a new part of the game. The PS5 edition of Final Fantasy VII Remake. Some people want to see that.
Yes.
And remember that we already know from an article that came out that the PS5, the Final Fantasy VII Remake on PS5 will already come with new content in the remaster. Yeah. We talked about that last week.
Yeah. We did talk about that. You know what I want to see?
Probably the same thing everyone else wants to see that isn't talking about the Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Parappa 3.
Oh, well, that'd be awesome. Why don't they do that? Parappa 3 with 237 stages.
I mean, it can't be as bad as Major Minor's Majestic March.
I've never heard of that. Oh. I never have.
Oh, watch the... Go and watch the retro... It's on YouTube. It's the... Retro Pals. It's in their Wii Rhythm Game Hell.
Oh no! Oh no!
Oh, it's so bad. All I'm gonna say is march, keep on marching.
Oh boy! Oh boy!
It's not good.
Not good.
It doesn't sound good. Sean, like, you make good games. What happened?
Right. Parappa 3 would be amazing, though.
It would.
What I was thinking of was the other thing that people will be. And even Missy said this. People will be angry if they don't see this at this point. Last of Us 2 multiplayer thing.
Oh, I hope so.
Whatever it is.
I hope so.
Like, Naughty Dog, you know I love you. You know I do. Because obviously. But last time on the Last of Us Day last year, you didn't say anything about the multiplayer. And then you released a statement that said, "We know what you're all waiting to see. Just be patient." Okay. People have been patient.
That was what, 5 months ago?
That was like 5 months ago, yeah. So I think maybe, you know, guys, maybe you say something about it on the state of play.
Even
maybe
if, something. Because even at the direct... Ainuma, whatever, I forget his first name, but the Zelda guy is like,
yeah,
hey, I know you're excited about Breath of the Wild 2. I don't really have any new announcements, but just we're working on it.
Yep. Say something about it.
Yeah.
Say something.
Yeah.
And you know, that's still like, if they did show the Last of Us 2 multiplayer, that still would fall under, you know, but that still doesn't break the plan for the show, because they did say it was going to be a standalone experience. So that technically is a new game, quote unquote. So
yep.
It still makes sense. So I hope we get something about it. That'd be exciting.
Would.
Those are the two major things I'm seeing. Like people talk about, like, I really want to see this and that and this. We may, I don't know. Maybe we'll get some God of War Ragnarok details too. I don't know. It's possible.
Probably.
It is supposed to be. It's supposed to come out next year or this year. I mean, also hidden in the announcements of yesterday, I did see someone tweet about the fact that someone said that the Horizon Forbidden West game is still on track to release this year, even though a lot of people didn't believe that it actually would. They're saying it's still on track.
Cool.
So cool. Bring it on, Gorilla. Yeah, what you got? Yeah, so State of Play tomorrow, 5 p.m. Eastern. Gonna watch it. Gonna write things down. Gonna cover it.
Indeed.
We're gonna do that thing.
Be good. And
hopefully, it'll be amazing. All right, next up. A thing that I enjoy talking about because it's so amazing. We've talked several times on the show about AI Dungeon, the super awesome, super amazing AI controlled text adventure style thing. Well, AI Dungeon has just released its latest feature as of yesterday. You can now create and generate worlds to play in.
Hmm.
And man, I've already started doing this. it is awesome. It is awesome. You can make a description of the world. You can make locations, classes, and races, all that stuff. You can attach locations to factions so they can be like faction-specific locations.
Ooh.
You can not do that, so you can have a kind of a, you know, middle lands kind of thing.
Yeah.
Going on. An unclaimed area, if you want. And the AI is smart about it. So, like, as you create, for instance, I was creating a faction, and when I wrote the name of the faction down, and then I hit the generate button, and the AI took everything I had supplied it so far, the information that I had given it about the world, and generated a perfectly accurate description of the faction that I wanted to create. Even though I didn't write the description myself.
Whoa.
Like, I don't know how to explain. I don't know how to explain it without spoiling what world I'm creating. Dang it.
Cool.
I didn't want to spoil it, but yeah, it was perfect. Like it couldn't have been better if I had written it. The information that I gave it, it filled out perfectly with what I wanted.
Nice.
It's impressive. It's impressive. I'm still creating, you have to generate every class and every race yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, like, if you want to, you don't have to write anything though. If you want to, you can just hit generate on everything. It'll just make stuff. But what I would recommend is if you don't feel like super duper creative, write something. At the very least, I would say give it a genre, because the first thing you do in world generation is it asks you what genre you want the world to be.
Mm-hmm.
Give it that much.
Yeah.
If you want to do nothing else, then do nothing else. You don't have to do anything else. You can just hit generate on every item, and it'll take care of it for you. So you have as much or little input as you want. You can make your own classes. Like you can. Oh, by the way, everything that it generates, even if you tell it to generate a thing, that doesn't mean you can't edit it. It actually just puts it in an edit box. You can just edit it yourself.
Ah.
So if you don't like what you get back from it, you can still fix it.
Cool.
So it's super cool, man.
If you like part of a thing and it kind of sparks an idea, like, oh yeah, I could do this or this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, cool. In fact, now that I think about it, there was one mistake in the faction thing that it generated for me,
mm-hmm.
but it was so tiny. It was a tiny mistake, but even tiny mistakes kind of matter if you're relying on an AI to generate a world for you. So I corrected it.
Yeah.
And now it's just a lot better. It's smart enough to assign races to different factions based on the information you give them about the race. It's smart enough to realize what locations might be likely for. It's nuts.
Nice.
AI Dungeon is insane. I love AI Dungeon so much. I just it's getting I believe it's getting better. I was talking to
I saw to, the our thing friend. You
yeah
you made the other day.
The thing I published.
Thing you published. Oh my god!
How check those NPC conversations?
Those
man.
Were so good. Like, whoa!
Those were not altered. What I said, he responded to, and vice versa,
yeah.
And it worked.
It did.
I really believe that it's getting better, and it's funny because I talked to Orinx, about this, and Orinx plays AI Dungeon more than I do.
Yeah, he does a lot.
I tend to kind of play it now and again. Like I love it. Don't get me wrong, I love it. But I kind of, you know, I get busy and stuff like that. And I tend to play it every now and again when I think about it. And because I really believe this, because of my my less exposure than him, I think I'm seeing the the broader scope of improvement. And remembering,
yeah, he's seeing the gradual stuff, and you're seeing the bigger ship.
A gradual slope.
Yeah,
I'm seeing the bigger ship. Last, like, even the last time I played AI Dungeon, my memories of AI Dungeon, even like the last time I messed around with it, were of still being awkward, of still like getting a lot of things wrong and forgetting things.
We talked about it on the podcast where like it did those random, for me, it did like the random shift to where like all of a sudden I was the dragon.
Yeah, you're the dragon. Yeah, yeah.
Like, wait, what? And,
yeah, wait, what? What was going on? But from what I'm seeing, not even kidding, from what I am seeing, I really think AI Dungeon is almost out of its awkward phase.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff isn't happening to me anymore.
I'm legit considering doing premium.
I'm already premium. I'm not gonna lie.
So I was looking at it the other day, like the main site when I was doing. What do scales do?
Scales are for multiple things. They are for if you're not premium, you can use scales to purchase dragon energy. So you can. It's basically a way so that you can use the dragon model of AI Dungeon without paying for premium.
Ah.
So you can use scales for that, but you can also use scales to purchase worlds that were created by the team.
Ah, okay.
Also, they're kind of used as a virtual currency. So if you like to make a bunch of scenarios, like if you like to make and publish scenarios for other people to play, people can tip you scales for those scenarios. Oh. So you can earn scales from other people too.
Okay.
That, you know, that play those.
Yeah.
And you can tip other people, of course, if you want to. So yeah, that's what they're for.
Cool.
And I don't have all the worlds that the team created, but I've got a lot of them.
Nice.
I need to play around with
more. I need to play around with this because I haven't touched it in like probably, oh my God. I think the last time I even messed with it was like when you did stuff on the stream.
Yeah, that was fun though.
That was fun.
I want to do that again. I want to do that again on stream. I do.
Yeah.
I really want to get a multiplayer game going. I don't know how I can convince people to do it. Like I got them to provide chat input and play that way, but I want to do a multiplayer game. Dang it.
Yeah.
Because I've never done one. To this day, I've never done a multiplayer game in AI Dungeon. It sounds like it'd be a blast to do. I even want to mess around with scenario creation. Now that I understand a little bit more how scenario creation works, I want to come up with something cool and give something give people something to play. That's what I want to do.
Cool.
So yeah,
it's so
cool, man. It's so much better than it used to be.
Yeah,
especially the dragon model is mind blowing. The dragon model is ridiculous. The kinds of responses that I get with dragon are just nuts, man. It's awesome.
Was that the scenario?
That was dragon.
Oh man,
that was dragon.
Oh my
That's
God.
How good
that
dragon
was impressive.
Is impressive. That is how good dragon
that
is
was
now,
impressive.
Dude.
Impressive. How good that was.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, the only problem with the thing that I published was that it suddenly put me in the carnival.
Yeah, that was a weird shift.
It was weird that it happened, but I understand it happened because I was doing an event. So they do events now. Like if you haven't played AI Dungeon in a while,
they do
events now. Like every week, there's an event you can take part in. And the event was find out what's going on at this carnival. So you play a fantasy scenario, and at some point during the fantasy scenario, you're intended to visit a carnival, and because it puts the event quest in your quest log in the AI Dungeon Adventure,
mm-hmm.
AI Dungeon itself, the AI assumes that you need to go there, you know. So it kind of put me there when I ran away from the ruins. It's like, okay, you're going to the carnival then. So I understood why it did what it did, but that's the only kind of problem that I had was. The reason that happened is because I was trying to play that.
Yeah, after that happened, it was very.
It flowed.
Coherent.
It flowed.
And flowing. Yeah, it was.
I was looking for my friends. Really well. I found those creepy people. Yeah. Those people were messed up, dude.
Those people were messed up.
Learned about the ZK.
The ZK. I like that. That it like came up with that.
Yeah.
Just calling it that on the fly like that.
By the way, there is also now a quest completion / like notification sound when a quest is updated.
Ooh.
Yeah, cool. There's a sound effect for that. It's like cool. it's a little musical thing that happens.
Oh man.
So like when I learned about
check that out. Do you mess with the auto like the speech stuff at all, or you just
I do. I have it on. The reason I have it on is because when I'm playing on iOS, it's a lot better than having to deal with the current iOS problem of the entire history of the output in iOS is on one line. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So you have to reread everything if you want it.
So yeah. I turned on the narration that's built into AI Dungeon to deal with that problem.
Yeah. Do you still need premium for that, I'm guessing? Or
I think you do.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
That's kind of my main reason why I think I want
to. Yeah, I think I think premium is worth it, but maybe
we're supporting this awesome effort. Anyway. I believe it's totally worth it.
I believe in AI Dungeon so much that even if some of the features that are in premium weren't in premium, I'd still probably support it because I really do believe in this technology. That said, one of the cool things, one of the nice things they've done, and I understand they did this because it kind of makes sense and they kind of have to, but it's still nice. If you're playing a multiplayer scenario. And let's say you are the host and you have premium and you have the dragon model available to you, but the other people that are playing with you don't, they will still be using the dragon model while they're playing with you.
Oh, that's good.
Because the game is kind of a self-contained thing that you're playing together. So they kind of need to.
I think I'm going to be messing with AI Dungeon later today.
Hey, maybe we should try a multiplayer game.
We should try a multiplayer game at some point.
Yeah. I want to see what that's like. I don't care what the genre is. Let's just do something. This would be fun. Yeah. Because I want to see how it handles more than one person entering inputs into it.
I want to throw Teddy Ruxpin stuff at it and see what it does.
Hey, don't be surprised, dude. Remember, I threw Batman at it once and it was fine.
That was like six. That was like six or however long ago that was.
It did the perspective shifting thing when I threw Batman at it, but it still was using Batman characters and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yep.
So I bet now it'd be even better if I threw Batman at it.
I'm sure it would. Yeah.
They have already said the AI will search Google and stuff for things.
Oh, cool.
Orinx, I believe he told me once. I think it was Orinx that said this. He used my name in a game that he played and like it figured out like who I was
my god
I think it called me like a YouTuber or something like that, but still you know, it's cool.
Nice.
It's freaking cool, man. AI Dungeon is a boss thing and everyone should try it. AIdungeon.io, go there. The free model, I will admit, not nearly as good as a dragon model, but it will give you an idea of what to expect with this type of technology. It still impresses in the way that if you've never seen this work before, your mind will be blown. If you've never imagined to yourself a text adventure where instead of having to stick with a pre-built set of commands that you might not even know, imagine a text adventure where you can just do whatever you want, type whatever you want to do or say, and have something react to it appropriately. Yeah. Then even the free model is going to blow your mind.
Yeah.
So anyway, AI Dungeon. Love it. All right. that's all I have for gaming news. Anything for gaming news, specifically Stirlock-a-tron? Okay.
Bring it on. It's a simultaneously awesome. But the other thing I wanted to bring up with this is just like, what? So the Mortal Kombat trailer dropped.
Oh, okay, yeah, it did. I should have brought that up, but yeah, you're right. I watched it too.
It's so good. I can't wait to see the movie.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I'm down.
I kind of might sign up for HBO Max.
Well, here's the thing. Because of the supposed impending arrival of body description, I kind of already intended to. If they make good on that. Yeah. I already intended to in March anyway, because we talked about last week, the Last of Us series is coming to HBO, which means it's going to be on Max as well. So that was already a reason to sign up. I forgot. Right. When we talked about it last week, I forgot the Mortal Kombat movie was also coming to HBO Max. So there's another reason to sign up, assuming audio description is the thing by then.
Yeah.
Although I might just sign up anyway because I want to see the movie.
Yeah. The movie looks really good. What was up with the scorpion?
Get over here.
I can answer that. I can answer that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's ultimately okay. Here's why. They didn't want to use like voiceover. They didn't want to use Ed Boon. I think that get over here is because they actually asked the actor that is legitimately live action playing Scorpion to say it. And he is, I believe he's like, I think he's Chinese, or he might be Japanese. No, he's Japanese. Sorry, he's Japanese.
Ah,
okay. He, I think, is a simple case of he has a heavy accent. He might not even be a native English speaker at all. Like,
oh, I don't mind that. It's more the delivery. Just like, I don't know.
I think it's fine.
Anybody other than Ed Boon saying that is just weird to me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, maybe Patrick Sykes could pull it off.
It's so synonymous with Scorpion. I mean, it's not going to detract from my enjoyment of the movie in any way.
No, it's yeah, yeah. I get it. I get it.
It still looks like a kick-ass movie.
Yeah,
like,
I get it. It
looks really, really, really good.
In a lot of ways, the casting is really good, though. Like, in terms of voice, in terms of voices and stuff. Like,
I like that they're keeping Kano Australian.
Yep,
thank you
yep,
for doing
yep.
that.
And they even hired an Australian comedian. He's actually a comedian, apparently. So.
Oh, nice.
So he's going to be some of the comic relief, which in the very first Mortal Kombat movie, he kind of was too.
He kind of was, yeah.
So that works. Did you hear about the controversy though, which has already been fixed?
I was gonna. Well, I don't know. Are we talking about the same thing? I think we might be.
Maybe.
There's something missing. Something. Rather, missing. Someone.
Oh, that's not what I'm talking about. But go ahead.
There's no Chun-Li.
Good Lord.
Chun-Li's not in Mortal Kombat.
I forgot that's what
you're saying. Why is that?
Yeah, why isn't Chun-Li
in Mortal Kombat?
That's so weird. Of all the people, you know, you'd think that Raiden would at least recruit Chun-Li.
I mean, you would say.
Oh, wait.
Yeah. This was so... I don't think it was a joke either. I think they were serious.
I know. Like, people are trying to pass it off like it is. I don't think it was.
Like, Leanna Pierce was like, oh, it's clearly a joke. And I'm like, no, it wasn't.
I don't think it was. I don't think it was. People are trying to say that it is. I don't think it was.
No.
I legitimately think the writer had no idea.
Or not Leanna.
Alana Pierce, yeah.
Alana Pierce was like, no, look, clearly it's a joke. Look. Like, no.
No. I read the article. That writer does not know that Chun-Li is not a Mortal Kombat character.
And just the track record of that site.
It's all bad.
It's a bad site.
It's all bad.
It's a bad site from a bad conglomeration. Just they're part of the same people that do that Kotaku.
Yeah.
Is part of no.
Yep.
They were not joking. That was a legit.
That's what you expect from that site. Lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, that was like legit one of the stupidest things I've ever. Like, oh my god, are you freaking kidding with this?
Yeah, it was ridiculous. The thing that I was talking about though, did you hear about the thing that NetherRealm had a problem with after the trailer was released?
No, I actually did not hear about this.
So this is apparently because of an expert team of production people already been corrected in the movie.
Whoa.
They corrected the trailer and they corrected the movie to fix this problem already, apparently.
Oh my god.
So
okay.
In the trailer,
dang.
In the original version of the trailer, during the battle between Jax and Sub-Zero, which is in the very beginning of the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Sub-Zero is shown multiple times using ice powers to block things. So like Sub-Zero, Jax would throw a punch at him and he'd freeze his fist to block it. And NetherRealm had a problem with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a thing Sub-Zero
does. That's not,
does.
He doesn't do that. Right, right. He uses ice powers for a lot of things, but never defensively.
That would be a cool use of the ice power, but
yep.
It's just not a thing Sub-Zero has ever done.
Yep. So NetherRealm got angry and got with the studio. and they've already fixed it. So every time in the original trailer, you would have seen Sub-Zero block with ice powers. He actually now does a much more appropriate thing for Sub-Zero. Everyone's calling it his forward two, which basically is, it's his overhead attack. It's the overhead attack. He does that instead now.
Cool.
He dodges. Okay. He dodges and overheads him.
Nice.
So more Sub-Zero-y now.
Very cool.
I just think it's interesting how quickly they fixed that.
Yeah, that's impressive. Yeah. Like, I mean, hey, if they could fix the Sonic the Hedgehog movie,
yeah,
they could fix anything.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And that movie's popular now. Sonic the Hedgehog did really well.
The Sonic the Hedgehog, I actually want to see that.
Yeah, I haven't seen it,
but I've heard very, very good things about
Sonic movie. I've heard even Jim Carrey as Robotnik is good.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's weird that this is a thing now that, like, we can patch movies, right?
We can, though.
Isn't that weird?
Have you heard about...
Blows my mind.
I'm probably not going to talk too much about this, but did you know that I think they're actually considering patching Home Alone 2?
Oh, to get rid of Trump?
Yep.
I don't agree with stuff like that.
I don't think it's necessary, but
I don't.
Apparently, they're considering doing it.
And I mean,
I get the thinking behind it, but it's kind of taking a little bit too far. The dude has one line.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Like, come on.
But
I don't like the guy.
Right. I think it's interesting that we're in a place where that can happen, though. You know,
yeah,
that you can just edit a character and change them entirely.
It's just like, where do you draw the line with that stuff, though? It's like,
well, I mean, it's things like this are used for good, though, too. Like, look at Star Wars and Moff Tarkin. His actor passed away.
Oh, that was so cool! What they did in Rogue One.
But he's in Rogue One, and he is in Rogue One. Like, he's not even it's not even a one liner.
Interesting to me that they had that much footage, like extra footage of him,
yeah,
to do that.
Yeah, it's pretty great,
and,
though,
and that, like, that they had characters that they didn't even use that they were able to bring back into Rogue One
Industrial Light and Magic did all of that, and it's tremendous what they did. His apparently
that is the.
His family were in tears when they saw Rogue One because they said it was perfect.
That is one of the coolest, like, uses of, like, posthumous acting.
Yeah,
like, ever. I think that is.
I agree.
So spectacular.
It's better than Tupac's hologram. I'm sorry. Doing the concert.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, his family saw Rogue One and were in tears because said it was perfect. It was just perfect.
That's good. That's really cool. That was very, very well done.
Yeah. It's seamless. It's seamless. If you didn't know... If you didn't know, you wouldn't know.
Yeah.
it's awesome. All right. Anyway.
Tangents.
That's good. Tangents. That's what we do. That's going to do it for gaming news. We do have a couple things for... Accessibility. Welcome to Accessibility. In this edition of Accessibility, first thing, we have to go back. We have to go backwards, Sherlock. Back in time. Backwards. Wow. Back to what we were talking about, Diablo 2 Resurrected. Yes, folks, that's right. It has been announced that Diablo 2 Resurrected will not just be a straight port of Diablo 2 with controller support on PC. Oh, no. It will feature some new, brand new accessibility features, not all of which have been detailed, apparently. So, we do not know everything this game's going to have yet. We know that's going to have, apparently, like, resizable text. We know that's going to have that. And we know it's going to have the ability to toggle the glow, that appears when you inflict damage on enemies. So I guess...
Oh, nice. Good.
I'm assuming that's probably to decrease, like, a strobing kind of effect.
Yeah, probably.
If you do damage all the time.
Photosensitive people, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's so good. You can toggle that. And that's kind of all we know. But they have already said that's not all the features. So, I mean, look, I'm not saying that it's going to be blind accessible. But what I am saying is Blizzard is aware
of
the blind now.
They are. People from Blizzard have watched your Diablo 3 videos.
People from Blizzard watched. Not only have people from Blizzard watched my videos, but I've literally worked with Blizzard on Battle.net.
Oh, that's right.
So.
But the screen, but yeah. For the screen reader stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I helped make Battle.net accessible. And so they are very much aware of the existence of blind gamers and you know, Diablo players that are blind now.
Yep.
So I'm not saying it's going to be blind playable. What I am saying is there is more than a zero chance.
A non-zero chance. Holy crap.
A non-zero chance that it might be.
Like, and
I would love that.
5 years ago, I would have said, oh, there's no way that's going
right, to exactly.
be playable.
Exactly. But now...
It's interesting that we're in a world now where this is even a possibility.
Yeah, non-zero chances are more common.
Yes, please. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great. It's great, man.
Even if it doesn't have blind accessible features, I mean, it still could be Diablo 3 levels of playable.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It still could. So, as long as it does that, I think I'll probably be fine.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we can hope, right?
Oh, yeah. Like,
the non-zero chance.
Menus? I mean, could you imagine?
Dude.
Like, for gear?
Yeah.
Holy
crap. Or just like... God. Even before that, just like notification of what you pick up when you pick it up. Oh.
Yes,
man. Please. The ideas.
I hope, man. I really, really, really.
Of course, like the non-zero chance leaves room for hope, but it does also leave us room to be disappointed. Which is
Wasteland 3. Ahem.
Oh, God, Wasteland 3. Don't even give me. There's no controller support in the menu. The main menu of Wasteland 3.
Well, I'm not even talking about that, but yeah, that's a big one too.
No narration on PC.
Oh yeah, that too. But the narration on console, literally just top level.
Yeah, well, that's
it.
That too.
Actually, for some of the initial character creation, it works too. But like, once you get in game, there's nothing.
Yeah, very minimalistic.
Why? The game had so much
potential. Even Assassin's Creed Valhalla, who I love bringing up Valhalla because it's a good example of not only decent accessibility features in a game and improvement overall for Ubisoft, but accessibility features they then improved later.
Like yeah.
Valhalla added narration, and it was already good to start with.
Yeah,
like Valhalla narration would narrate dialogue choices from the very beginning.
It's stuff like that that makes me super excited for the Star Wars.
I know.
Like, I know. Holy crap.
I know.
Oh.
But Valhalla narration would narrate dialogue choices from the beginning. But when Valhalla was launched, it didn't narrate any of the notes you could pick up and read. It narrates all of them.
Wow.
So.
Oh, man. It's so close.
It's so close.
Now they just need to work on their
if it navigation just had some stuff. Yeah, some navigation assist, we'd almost be there, man.
Like that. Well, that's what makes it helpful. Like I think the next batch of stuff, even like maybe the stuff that comes out like this year, could be and especially the Star Wars thing, which we don't think we.
There's no release date. Who knows?
So I have a lot of confidence that like
I want to believe.
God. Oh my God, please. Please.
A Star Wars game. I know I did this when they initially talked about it, but I can't help it. Like it's a Star Wars game, but we might be able to play it.
It's just a non-EA company working on Star Wars, that too, like just
yep. That too.
Yes, yes please.
That too. But yeah, you know, Diablo 2 Resurrection. We may be playing that too. Who knows?
Man, I hope. We don't know when that's coming yet, do we? I don't think there's a release.
No, I don't think so. I think it's coming this year, but I think that's all we know.
Okay. I'm pretty hyped for it.
Yeah, I am too. I am too. I want to get it right away. Right away. So yeah. So the other thing that I have for accessibility is kind of just like it's kind of a personal awesomeness thing, I guess. But I want to talk about it because it's cool. I had my big birthday bash stream yesterday.
You did.
And it was quite fun. It was quite fun. We played 4 games in total. We played some Mortal Kombat. We played some Hades. We played some Blatheround and Jackbox. Specifically, we only played Blatheround. We played 2 rounds of Blatheround. And then we played what? Yes, that's right. We played Parappa the Rapper 2.
And almost beat it.
And almost beat it, yeah. As voted on by the chat, Parappa the Rapper 2, of all things. But it's funny, though, because now you really know that when I got that external hard drive, I went on an installing spree. Because did you notice how I didn't have to download Parappa 2?
Yep.
I just installed a bunch of stuff.
I need to get me an external for my PS5. I really
do. Yeah, I recommend it. It's whatever problems there were on launch with those, I've had none. So, you know, I recommend it. But yeah, it was not only a fun time, but I was raising money for the Heart Support Charity, which is a mental health organization that assists with like people that might self-harm or might commit suicide or, you know, suicidal risks and things like that. And like general mental health and well-being organization. And we raised $128.10.
And 10 cents
for Heart Support. Thank you to Chaosbringer for that extra 10 cents. He didn't even know he added on. that's why it's a running joke. Because when I was thanking him, I'm like, oh, so we're when he had donated, I think it was he brought up to $108.10 when he donated. And I was thanking him for his donation. I was like, $108.10. Thanks, Chaosbringer. And he was like, wait, what? Like, I didn't mean to do that, but okay, whatever.
That's
fine.
Yeah.
So there you go. $128.10 total. And that is combined, by the way, with because that was part of the when you do a campaign on Tiltify, which is what I did that campaign through, you can combine it with a team campaign, and that's how Radically Kind Gamers was doing their part of that campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So that $128 is actually just combined with the $8,000+ that our team raised overall.
Nice, good.
And $42,000 raised by the combination of Radically Kind Gamers and Team SideQuest. So that's just another $128 on top of all that stuff.
Very
so
cool.
That's why I'm proud of it, because I was helping the overall goal.
Yeah, awesome.
It was cool. So that's what we did. And at $100, I'm going to mention this just for fun, when we hit $100, I got to do the Little Nuggets rap.
Yep.
And, you know, I didn't have a beat to back me up on it, but I did it. It took a couple of tries. But
I did. You did good.
I didn't get every line right the first time, but I did it. You know, I was hoping we'd get to 200 so I could do the Radically Kind rap too, but we did not. I'll have to make that a tips goal for that's an idea. I have plans. Oh, I may yet do the Radically Kind rap. We'll see what happens. Anyway, I wanted to mention that because it was a lot of fun. It was my birthday stream. Now, it's not my birthday yet. My birthday's on Friday of this week. But I wanted to celebrate on stream, and so I did for 7 straight hours. Well, I took a break for lunch, but it's basically 7 hours.
Yep.
And had a lot of fun. A lot of people showed up, played a lot of games, got 12 new followers. And thanks to one of my oldest friends, I'm talking about oldest friends, way back in Minnesota, showed up to that stream. That was something, man.
Nice. Very cool.
And he was the one who gifted 5 subs.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
That was freaking awesome. Like, I did not expect him at all. And then he ended up playing Blatheround with us. Like, what the heck? Like, man, I hadn't talked to this guy. I went to his wedding a couple years ago, but
yeah,
I hadn't talked to him in quite a while. And he shows up to my stream. It was awesome. Yeah.
Very cool.
It was a great day. Yesterday was a great day for me. One also, you know, another thing that made it great was not only was my birthday stream, but I also got some more news that I can't talk about.
Yeah, super secret things.
But at least this one I will tell you right now will not be secret for 3 years. No.
Just one.
No, I'll even go so far, because I'm not telling you specifics. It won't even be secret for 1 year.
Okay. Well, that's good.
So you will see. You will find out. It will be relatively soon, just not yet.
When will then be now?
Soon. I love that movie.
I love
that movie.
It's so good.
All right. So that was my, you know, big, awesome event of the week. And that's all I have for Sbrility News this week. There wasn't a whole lot in terms of Sbrility News this week, I think.
There was a quick thing that happened.
Oh, well, go ahead. Bring it on. I probably forgot it.
Yeah, you did. Because you know about it. Yep. Capcom done broke
the thing.
Speaking of bad accessibility news.
Yeah. Oof. How? I don't know how this kind of stuff happens.
Does anyone know? Okay, first of all, to break the whole story out here, Capcom released an update to Street Fighter V. Yay, updates. Winter update. New character. Yay.
And Dan. Dan is awesome.
Yeah, Dan. Okay. Yeah, I'm sure he is. Except the update broke stereo sound.
Yep. Sound is now entirely in mono.
Are we talking, just curiosity here, music too?
No, music and meter
music
sounds.
Is fine. Interesting.
And the meter sounds are still in stereo.
That's interesting.
All the fighting audio is now in stereo. Or now in mono.
In mono, yeah. That is so messed up. Why?
How do you mess that up?
What would you even have been modifying that would mess that up?
I don't know. Like, it's clearly like a bug. Like, I'm sure that was not a purpose.
I can't voice. See why it would have been a conscious decision.
But like, how does that even? What are you even messing with in the code to even make that a possibility of happening?
Exactly.
That's so weird.
Does anyone know if Capcom is aware of this? Like, have we heard anything from Capcom?
I mean, I know people have been tweeting the crap out of them, but I don't think any kind of response has been made yet.
Dang.
I hope it gets fixed.
I hope so. I hope so. Because I kind of actually wanted to try Dan, but I'm not really excited to do it until I got my stereo audio back.
Yeah. And it's like, maybe not a huge deal for like casual people, but man, if you play competitively, you need that stereo audio.
Yeah. It's a big part of it. It's a big part of it.
Just like that'd be like if like MK11.
I couldn't imagine. I don't know what I would do.
The whole reason you are as good at as you are at MK11 is because of the stereo audio.
Yeah, because like, I know where my opponent is.
You know,
I
know exactly where your opponent is at any given time.
Yeah, it's because of the stereo audio that I even know half the information I know in that game.
Yep.
You know, that's a big deal.
By the way, I wish that guy hadn't joined a party chat the other day.
Well, you wanted to hear his ultimate trash talking?
That was
funny.
I mean,
he won overall, so you know.
He was talking himself up so big.
I know.
Bro.
That's why I said like this is one of those guys that needs to talk himself up. Like if he doesn't, like he'll be just be insecure the whole time or something like that.
Like I would love to see him with that attitude fight like Rattlehead or something.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to see that.
Completely bodied. Just like, what the?
dude, even remember.
You were putting up a good fight.
Oh, yeah, I put
too.
Up a good like, fight. But you, it, like, if you remember, even when I won a round, he was just like, that's it? Like, he was trying to downplay what I was doing that won the round. That's it? That's all you got? Watch this.
You got, like, multiple, like, full combos on.
Yeah, I did.
Too, like,
although I will actually give him a little bit of credit. He was very
He was decent.
He was very good at playing defensively.
Yeah.
If he had meter to spend, he would break out of my combos every time.
Yeah.
If he didn't have meter, that's when I got him.
Yep. But I found that guy entertaining.
Like, I did too, in a way. I did too. And he thought he was going to ruin my day.
I'm going to ruin you. I'm
ruin this guy's day. He did not ruin my day, as it turns out.
Nope.
Not even close.
Because then you went on to do 2 complete runs of Hades.
I did. It was there, and both of them were really fun.
Discover even more new dialogue.
Yeah, even more. There's so much to do in that game, even after the true ending. It's ridiculous. Hades is so good. I bet there's even more I haven't seen. Well, actually, no, there's one scene I haven't seen yet. It's a thing that I was told about that it's probably going to happen eventually. it's a risque scene, huh? It's one of those.
Yes.
Yeah. Indeed. So that's all I have now that we've covered Street Fighter V's ridiculousness. is there anything else, Sherlock?
I don't think so. I think that's...
Yeah, there wasn't much for accessibility this week, so... all right. Well, then, we will do an outro, not an intro. An outro. And we'll get out of here for this week. Outro. Coming right up. Another one in the bag, folks. This has been episode 74 of the Breakdown Walls podcast. And it's
a good one.
We told you. Didn't we tell them? Didn't we tell them in the beginning?
We did. It's gonna be a good one.
Not only that, we told you that gaming news just needs to take a break, but it's not going to take a break, folks. We know for a fact it's not going to take a break because there's a State of Play tomorrow.
That State of Play is going to be huge.
It's going to be huge, and we're going to cover it. And, if it's even a little bit as huge as people want it to be, it's going to be huge. The Last of Us 2, maybe. Final Fantasy 7 Remake, maybe.
Maybe.
More stuff that we don't know about, yes. So, you know, gonna be awesome.
Yep.
Hopefully, I can't guarantee anything because, you know, scheduling is tight with the person we're trying to schedule for our next guest. So hopefully we'll have them scheduled by then. But I won't make any promises. I am, like I said, as I said in the intro though, conversation is open. We're trying to work it out right now. It's not a thing that's stuck. It's a thing we're just trying to figure it out.
Yep.
So, yes, it is definitely happening either way.
Yay.
All right. So, thank you guys for listening. We love doing the show every week. It is a highlight of our week where we get to talk about gaming things like we just normally talk because that's how we are. And play AI Dungeon. Just play it. Just do it right now. Play it. Just go AIdungeon.io and play it. That's all I got to say.
Do it.
Immediately. No. Thanks for listening. We always appreciate your feedback. We appreciate your listenership from different countries across the world. It amazes me to this day that we have listeners that, you know, are in several different countries. I still think that's really cool.
That is really cool.
And thank you very much, guys. Stay tuned for more gaming news and accessibility news brought to you by the good people of Breakdown Walls. Until next week, I'm Brandon Cole. He is still Sherlock.
I haven't changed it yet.
Not changed it yet. We will see you.